AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Friday, good morning and welcome to the show. It's the first day of February and Sunday is the big game. And I mean the big game. Hundreds of millions of dollars and thousands of cast and extras and staff to put on what is maybe the last must-see watch live television event of our lives. Kevin Verhaeghe is down there with the CBS crew. All right, when did you first arrive? Wednesday?
Hi, Brian. Yes, I got here Wednesday morning about 9 o'clock. Been here all day Wednesday, yesterday, and right after I get off with you, I'll be walking in and spend the whole day here today.
All right, what's the weather like in Atlanta?
Oh, it's going to be 60 degrees. First day, I haven't worn long underwear in, I think, 3 weeks.
That would be great. All right, now, does anybody have any idea, just people who tune in the game on Sunday, the preparation that goes into this? I mean, how many employees does CBS have on the ground in Atlanta?
Well, I have a crew chart, and I counted over 1,000. I say about almost 1,200.
1,200 people, and I'm sure that list is exhausting as far as the job descriptions are concerned. So what will you physically be doing on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm very low on that list, by the way. What I'm going to be doing is, as you have done in occasions with Jim Kimmons, I work with a fellow named John Pavlovich. He's Jim's counterpart on the far side of the field, and I carry equipment for him. And it's all very vital equipment for him to get his shots, and he doesn't miss a play. And we sprint from end zone to end zone, and I carry a device called a hi-hat. It's actually a very sophisticated camera mount that has electronics that you plug into the camera so we can use zooming devices to take that long, you know, if anybody can identify with what he does, he takes that long pass. The football comes flying through the air right at you, floating in the air, and then you see this receiver jump up and grab it and get hit by a defender right in the corner of the end zone. That long football shot is a shot he takes with that camera that he has, which is called a super slow-mo handheld, but is mounted to the stand that steadies it to where you get that beautiful, you know, glide through the air of that football. You see it on NFL films. They and John are the ones that do this just perfectly.
Yeah, it's breathtaking. But, you know, what's really crazy, though, is the old-school cables that are attached to these cameras. I mean, you know, you guys are moving up and down that field. As you said, sprinting, and it is. You'll never have a football game go by faster than working the sidelines. But you're there, a couple of guys handling the cables. I mean, there's a large operation just to get from one end of the field to the other.
Yeah, I would say those guys, there's two guys that pull cable. And I imagine they have 100 yards of it. And now with this game, there's multiple people on the sidelines. Normally on a normal Sunday, this A game has one handheld camera on each sideline, and we do everything. We do every play. We do the bench shots. We do the crowd shots. We do the sideline reporter interviews. He runs out and does the handshakes and then the interviews during halftime and after the game. Well, during the Super Bowl, there's four handhelds on each sideline, plus a steady cam, the guy that runs around without a cable. So you gotta avoid everybody, not tangle your cables, and still do what you normally do every Sunday. On one hand, there's less things for you to do, but it's more complicated by coordinating with all the other guys on the other cameras.
All right. Do we have any idea, just watching on TV on Sunday, the federal, you know, the FBI, local law enforcement, all the security that goes into this? There's a massive operation. If you're watching the game, you'll never see any of this.
No, but it's amazing. And there are Black Hawk helicopters flying around all week long. They just go around the stadium. I would think the pilots get dizzy. But you know, the presence is out there because that chopping noise is, even inside that unbelievable Mercedes-Benz dome, you hear those things thumping outside. And there's like five layers of perimeter security, probably four of which you don't even know about, and one that you do know about. And that's going through the detectors and all the badge checking and things like that.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. All right, so what kind of rehearsals have happened so far?
Oh my gosh, I'm almost afraid to talk about it. They're so secure. If you, I was working on my phone yesterday doing emails, watch them set up the stage of Maroon 5, and I got checked, and they checked my pictures, and they booted me out of the area where because they're setting up the stage. I mean, the rehearsals start today, though. Gladys Knight will be practicing God Bless America, and I don't know, I think Maroon 5 and they will be practicing this evening when I get out. So, you know, everything is very secretive. Man, they're really watching, making sure nothing gets posted on social media that's anything prior to the Super Bowl. They're really, really careful.
Yeah, well, they may want to keep the surprise and keep the show. I understand that, certainly. Now, we know that it's always, with any NFL game, fairly tense, you know, when you have that sort of pregame meeting with security and stuff like that. I imagine this is like that on steroids the entire time you're there.
Yeah, I mean, that meeting's usually done the day of the game. We had it yesterday. And it was, instead of, 25, 30 of us in the room, there were 65. It is, everything's on steroids. I don't know how the director, Mike Arnold, and the coordinating producer, Jim Rickoff, I don't know how they coordinate all these cameras. There's hundreds of them versus, you know, maybe 50 of them for a regular game. There's probably, I would guess, over 300 of them. Between the robos, you know, the robotic cameras, the 360 cameras, and then the regular handheld and operator-operated cameras.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Tell me about the pressure, you know, our good buddy Jim Kimmins and your buddy Pav, you know, and the other guys and gals that will be there this weekend for the big game, the pressure they're under. They've got to get these shots. I mean, you know, America is watching. This is the last... I think the last must-see, must-watch, as-it-happens television event that we still have. Non-football fans, huge parties, millions and millions of people tuned in. They've got to hit every shot. I mean, the professionalism in which they operate, the level, is off the charts.
Well, you've been there. You know. Well, Jim is the consummate professional. My guy, John Pavlovich, exactly the same way. They do the A games. Everybody that operates a camera wants their job, and they're the best at it. And they have to put on normally on a Sunday 3 hours of perfect TV. It's all live. Well, now multiply that by two. You know, we go on the air at around 6 o'clock. Game starts 6:30. We won't go off the air to probably 10 or 10:30, and all of that is perfect television, or better be perfect.
All right,
that's the pressure.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing, and they do it. And it is. I've never worked on Pav's side of the sideline with you, but with Jim, just watching him work the referees, work the players, the coaches. I mean, he does a lot of politicking just to be able to get the right shot.
Well, there are a million rules, even for the camera operators in NFL films. There are so many rules that you can and can't do. And they get more leeway than anyone. But, you know, if you need to get a shot and you need to bend a rule or you need to move to a position that you're not supposed to, getting to know those people before the game, your odds are better of pulling it off than if you don't know them. And it's happened where Jimmy got suspended. He didn't get to do an AFC championship game because the game leading up to it, he chased Ryan all the way into the end zone as he hugged his player on that Jets game, or was it the Giants? I don't know.
That was
the
Jets. Yeah, Rex Ryan. Yeah. And Rex Ryan was breaking the rules, too. And Jim just had to follow along. That was interesting. And that shot was shown everywhere for like 48 hours. Well, this is the deal. Tell me how packed is Atlanta, the Super Bowl experience. Do you get to enjoy any of the stuff that's going on in and around the game?
You know, I did yesterday, Brian. I went over and just checked out the experience. And I actually invited my wife to this game. This is my fifth Super Bowl, and I never know when it's going to be my last. So I wanted her, because she's been so good about me getting to do all these games throughout the year for the last 11 years. I wanted her to get to enjoy the Super Bowl this year. She's coming down tonight. So we're going to enjoy tonight, and she's going to enjoy tomorrow with some friends. And Sunday she's going to the game. So at least she'll get to see it. But it's pretty cool. I mean, I sent you a picture of me standing next to a Patriots helmet And, I mean, it's stuff like that everywhere. It's just mega everything.
Yeah, and I mean, the amount of money that's being spent, the partnerships that are involved. I was just looking at my Nike app, just all the different things they're doing in Atlanta in the week lead up. I mean, it's hard to believe. Now, the halftime show, I know people are saying it's sort of passe. No one's excited about Maroon 5. But how is that to witness? You know, because normally at halftime, don't you kind of, at least the games I've worked, you go in and you get a snack and you get off the field. Do you stay on the field for the entire halftime show?
No, I go in and take a restroom break, and I try to grab something to get a little protein in me for the next half. But this is an extended halftime, the Super Bowl, so I get out to watch. I watched Bruno Mars last time, who was awesome, and Beyonce, and you're not going to miss the halftime shows. And, you know, Maroon 5's got a kind of a bad rap. They got more hits than anybody these days. They're an unbelievable group. And there's a rumor circulating around here, strictly a rumor. I have no inside knowledge, but there might be a special appearance by Mick Jagger, to the song "Move Like Jagger."
That would be cool.
What if that happens?
Yeah,
that would knock it off the charts.
All right. Well, listen, get whatever pictures you can, and we'd be happy to share them with them. We're going to check in with you Monday just to kind of recap the whole thing, because you were there when the lights went out.
That was something.
If you remember that Super Bowl. All right. Well, listen, buddy, be safe. What's your favorite part of the game? Is it on the field afterwards? That's always an exciting time.
My favorite part of the game is, there's like a crescendo with this. It starts off real slow with guys out there on the field, and it builds to, you know, that what you're talking about, the end of the game. My favorite part is the early part where the national anthem, where they're standing there and you're walking up the field, taking pictures of each one of these players and Belichick. You're the butterflies, the excitement. You are revved up, that music that leads up to that, and then the game starts. You know, that's my favorite part. But it's all great. It's all great.
All right. Well, listen, our best to Sue. Have a great time in Atlanta, and we'll talk to you Monday morning.
All right, Brian. Talk to you.
All right. Kevin Verhaeghe with CBS down there at the Super Bowl this year. It's hard to explain how kind of freaky it is, even just for a regular Sunday NFL game. When he was talking about that revving up and the national anthem,
oh, yeah.
They've got the stadium experience. If you're on the field, the music, they've got it like perfected, right? I mean, it's a show.
I mean, that's why
they'll start with like that Hell's Bells, that intro, with AC/DC, every time they're getting, they get all the digitals, lights and the boards and everything's lit up. And there is the players are all like, banging helmets and getting ready to go. There's something very caveman-ish about all of it that sort of like traces back to like our original roots. Right.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's exciting.
Like, I'm going to go out and hit somebody with a big bone I just pulled out of this animal kind of thing.
Yes.
Back to our hunter-gatherer years. It is fun. So we'll check in with Kevin on Monday after the game, and he'll give us any special insight. He's got to be careful. I mean, they're so draconian about the rules. He sent us a picture. And then he said, wait, don't use that.
That was
from a closed thing or whatever. You know, I mean, so they're very, very much just sort of, that's just the way it is. And I get that is this the last big live TV thing?
It really feels like it is, because, I mean, we don't watch the Oscars.
Well, no,
but you've
got the NBA Finals, the World Series, you've got, other sporting events. But where everybody gathers around a single game. Maybe the national championship game. I don't think that's anywhere close. That's a Monday night.
The World Series has this kind of...
Well, because the World Series, you can play as many as seven games, and so you got people coming and going. And,
yes, and really, really only interested if it's your team.
If it's your team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super Bowl, you watch regardless.
Do we?
I don't know.
Numbers are pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got to take a break. Time now for the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Listen to Byers & Company each day between now and February 11th for our...